Welcome to Mind Your Biz Today on South Florida's only all-business radio station, 880 AM. Today's business world is fast-paced and ever-changing. Gain a competitive advantage by listening to Mind Your Biz Today, hosted by Janie Smith, CEO of Smart Advantage. Janie is a best-selling author and business consultant extraordinaire with over 35,000 hours consulting C-suite executives. She will help you navigate today's business hurdles and maximize your opportunities with thought-provoking discussions with CEOs, business authors, and thought leaders. Learn the latest trends and profit-producing ideas for growing your business.
Brought to you by the Hudson Institute of Executive Education at Nova Southeastern University. Executive training programs to excel in today's competitive market.
Here's your host, Janie Smith.
To Mind Your Biz Today. I am your host, Janie Smith. I am the author of Creating Competitive Advantage, and I am a consultant to many, many CEOs of small, medium-sized businesses. We want to especially thank our new sponsor, Hudson Institute of Executive Education, who is at Nova Southeastern University. These guys are terrific. They provide workshops and training for businesses in the community. They will even customize a training workshop for your business. So please have a look at Hudson Institute of Executive Education. I want to remind our listeners to please go to mindyourbiztoday.com, our radio website, and give us your recommendations for shows. We've had a lot of requests for how to be better leaders, and we have a show today. I've had a lot of terrific people to interview on the show. I know that today's show promises to be one of my favorites and yours. Leadership communication is something everybody needs in today's world. Whether you own a business, run a business, manage other people, we all have to know how to be good leaders with good communication styles. So I want to introduce today our guest. Our guest today is Miles Martell. Miles is a leadership communication specialist, and his background is staggering. Miles has been one of the world's premier leadership communication advisors. He came into prominence in 1980 as Ronald Reagan's personal debate advisor and then served as a counselor to the White House Office of Communications. Throughout his career, he's advised more than 40 U.S. senators, congressmen, ambassadors, governors, presidential cabinet members, scores of business leaders. Today, he is a coach to all his clients. Today rank in the top of the Fortune 500 companies, and he works with those CEOs. He's written 6 books. He's been on many TV shows, including Nightline with Ted Koppel, CBS This Morning. He's been quoted in the Wall Street Journal, U.S. News and World Report, USA Today, and the New York Times. Martell's published 6 books. We'll have him talk about those at the end of the show. He's received numerous honors, including the George Washington Honor Medal from the Freedoms Foundation. And I can go on and on, but we'll have Miles talk about that. So, Miles, thank you so much for being with us and giving us your time today.
Well, Janie, thank you so much for inviting me. I've been looking forward to this.
Well, that's wonderful. Now, tell me, how did you choose this profession? This is such a unique niche.
Well, Janie, I was a university professor in the Pennsylvania system, and I have always had the soul of a teacher. So I actually began as a professor in 1980. I got a big break becoming President Reagan's personal debate advisor. That gave me an opportunity to take a year's leave of absence to try my hand at full-time consulting, and I started a consulting practice then, and I never turned back.
There's no looking back. Well, that's so fascinating. It sounds like a tremendous break to become President Reagan's advisor. How did you become his advisor?
Basically, the answer is that it occurred to me that a book had never been written on debate strategy. So in 1977, I started working on a book on debate strategy and landed up interviewing major figures who had helped Nixon and Kennedy and Ford and Carter, and I befriended 2 folks who were very connected with Reagan. And as a consequence, they arranged for me to be interviewed, and I landed up becoming his personal advisor. That's the long story short.
Well, it's interesting because to be a debate advisor and write a book on it, that skill is transferable to anybody, anytime, whether it's in the boardroom or the kitchen. That's a really good skill to have, isn't it?
You're absolutely right, Janie. The ability to express yourself, the ability to make a point persuasively, the ability to make a point concisely, all of that matters in political debates, and all of that matters in the business world.
So what are the major reasons that leaders rely on your services that your firm offers?
Well, there are a number of reasons. Helping them to shape compelling messages for a high-stakes situation, let's say a reorganization or an IPO or an acquisition or an analyst meeting or an annual meeting, or helping a leader cultivate a stronger leadership presence, or helping a leader to become more of a leader as opposed to a manager. Those are some of the major reasons that they call on us. And basically, we help them understand and improve themselves as leaders by leveraging their communication skills and their messages.
So is there any special firms or sectors that you serve?
We serve pretty much the entire spectrum of sectors, manufacturing, pharmaceuticals, financial services, services in general, you name it, we pretty much serve it. But it's mainly corporate and a little bit political.
Okay. And also not just corporate, but I imagine you also work for not-for-profits because they have a tremendous need for working with boards and donors.
We've worked a fair amount with not-for-profits. What happens is that our corporate clients land up subsidizing the work that we do in behalf of not-for-profits. So it's a win-win all the way around.
All right. Well, now, Miles, one of the things our listeners tune in for is tips and things that they can use as a result of listening to this program. So tell me, what do you find some of your clients are easier to work with than others, and what are the traits that are most challenging? What are things that leaders or managers need to watch out for? What do you experience?
Well, we find that they're a lot easier to work with if they're not defensive, if they're open to growing, if they're open to learning. Our basic point of view, Janie, is that there's no such thing as a perfect leader. There's no such thing as a perfect communicator. There's room for growth in all of us. And so the person has to really be open to growth as opposed to defensive. Secondly, they need to value the importance of communicating. And many leaders don't value it sufficiently. So we help them value it further and see opportunities to advance their leadership agenda through communication.
Boy, don't we see that inside the Beltway these days? There seems to be a lot of communication issues on both sides of the aisle. And I wish you were working up there today, honestly.
Well,
goodness.
I am to a degree.
Okay, well, that's encouraging.
I am doing some work on the federal level, actually, really enjoy doing it, and totally agree with your premise that the situation in Washington has become much, much more competitive than I ever remember it being, and there are all kinds of communication issues that need to be sorted out in addition to the substance itself.
Are you saying that the situation's become more competitive as a mellifluous way of saying more polarized?
Absolutely, to the point of being polarized. It's highly polarized. I don't ever remember it being as polarized as it is now. Naturally, that represents a whole host of communication challenges that need to be addressed.
Well, I mean, going back to the first thing you said, in order for a leader or a manager to benefit from enhancing their leadership communication skills, they have to be open to it. And so, again, I want to make this applicable to our listeners, but I want to use the politics as an example. You know, what percentage of folks like that are even open to learning about communication skills and how to be better leaders, both on the political side and the corporate side?
Right. Well, it's hard to the question's a fair one. It's hard for me to tell you what percentage. I can tell you that the percentage of folks who come to us is very high because they've already made a decision on their own that they could benefit from our services, because we only work with people who really want to grow. We're not interested in people who come here for, excuse the expression, rehab, who are forced to come here. they have to really have the desire to grow and feel that they can benefit from the relationship with us.
I completely get that. When we do our competitive advantage work on site, we'll be hitting a brick wall if there's not initial buy-in. When people have to do something, it's never a successful venture. So I completely understand.
That's right, and it's not good for my credibility, or I'm sure yours, if we take on clients who are not committed to growth.
No, in fact, I just got off the phone with a would-be client, and they said, you know, what can go wrong? I said, what can go wrong is that there's not sufficient buy-in at your end, and don't even invite me in unless you have a few internal champions who really want to do this.
So that's exactly the same with my practice, Janie.
Yep, okay. So before the first commercial break here, in light of the challenges in this economy, and we just a couple of weeks ago had an economist on who said, you know, yeah, we're not going to have a double dip, but it's not going to be any kind of a hockey stick. It's going to be an ever so slow upward trend, barely noticeable upward. So in light of this challenges in this economy, including businesses, what major advice are you giving leaders today regarding how they should communicate?
Well, just because you have a commercial break, I'll be brief and we can pick this up later, but an awfully lot of leaders are hunkering in the bunker and are not communicating enough, and we're encouraging them to communicate more. Our basic point of view is that this is a very opportune time for you to leverage your leadership and be out there and listen and communicate your vision for helping get your organization out of this terrible situation we're all facing.
Yes, so no communication is as bad as bad communication, and we see that in a lot of companies. So you're saying have more town hall meetings if you're the boss.
Absolutely. No communication is worse than silence and the void that silence creates and allows detractors to basically exploit.
Right. Rumor mills start, and people start filling in the blanks if you're not telling them exactly what's going on.
Exactly right, Janie.
And you know, we see that in today's world, and again, back to the political arena, if there's not enough conversation going on, that's what the lack of confidence is in this country, I believe, because we're just not hearing enough about what's going on really, and we get so many confusing messages. You pick up the Wall Street Journal on a daily basis, and it's contradicting the day before's news. So, you know, that's because they're not getting information or good information on a regular basis. At least that's my guess.
They're not getting clear messages, that's for sure.
Yep.
Many people are over-communicating, and many people are under-communicating, and, of course, there's always the question as to who's telling the truth.
So quickly, one minute before I take a break here, is there a particular format or forum that you recommend? Is it a town hall meeting? Is it written? What do you recommend they do more frequently?
I am a big believer in town hall meetings. I am an increasing believer in blogs. I'm an increasing believer in making sure that the leaders who report to you know how to communicate well, and that that you're not just simply doing it all on your own, but that you're leveraging your leadership team to basically carry your message forward. And an awfully lot of leaders, this is one of their major issues, don't rely enough on their teams to spread the word.
Yep. Well, Miles, we're getting ready for a break here, and then we're going to come back. I have some more questions for you. I love your background. I love the work that you do. We'll be back in just a few minutes. We're going to break for our sponsor, the Hudson Institute of Executive Education, located at Nova Southeastern University. And I want to encourage our listeners to go to mindyourbiztoday.com. Give us your thoughts and comments on the show and shows you'd like to hear. Also, please go to my website, smartadvantage.com, and learn about how to create your competitive advantage. We'll be back in just a few minutes, and we'll continue with Miles Martell, former advisor to Ronald Reagan and to a host of other Inside the Beltway politicians and Fortune 500 executives. We'll be right back. Stay tuned.
We'll be right back with Mind Your Biz Today and Janie Smith after this word from our sponsors.
Searching for executive training programs to help your company's growth? 90% of South Florida's major corporations have sent their executives to training at Nova Southeastern University's Hudson Institute of Executive Education. With workshops ranging from sales to Six Sigma and from management development to mergers and acquisitions, your executives will gain the skills necessary to immediately impact your bottom line. To customize your organization's training, visit nova.edu/exec ed.
Here is Janie Smith with Mind Your Biz Today.
Welcome back, South Florida. We're going to continue our discussion here with Miles Martell, who is the former advisor to Ronald Reagan, and he is executive coach and communications coach to many, many CEOs of Fortune 500 companies even today. So I have a number of questions I want to continue with Miles, but I want to pick up on something, Miles, that we said, that you said just before the break. You talked about being an increasingly bigger fan of blogs as a communication vehicle. Could you say a little bit more about that?
Sure. Basically, a number of CEOs we advise have blogs. They have their own messages that they regularly transmit to audiences, and very much of a give and take, and it helps to elevate their credibility, make them appear and truly make them more accessible, make their messages more authentic, seem more spontaneous, and in many instances they are more spontaneous. So it just has enormous advantages, and leaders of some of the major organizations in the world, both for-profit and not-for-profit, are taking considerable advantage of it.
And so those are two-way, where they also get input from their stakeholders who are reading it?
That's exactly right.
So then that's why they appear more accessible, and it also then gives them the really big communication skill of being a listener.
Yes, and they tend to be more immediate, Janie, so that, for example, if they very often they're responding within a 24-hour period to a question or to a comment.
Okay, I think that's terrific. We're always looking at, and even in my company, we're expanding our blogging capability because we're finding it is a really good tool. And, you know, it's like so many things, you're slow on the uptake, but you start to realize this can be a very valuable communication tool.
Yes, and basically visibility and credibility are on parallel tracks. So the more visible you are, generally the more credible you are.
Yeah.
It doesn't always work that way, but it's generally that's generally the equation.
Yeah, I can think of a few people who are visible who aren't very credible at all, but like you said, generally. So let's go ahead, and I think you're right. I was being facetious. I'm talking about some of these people like the WikiLeaks guy and so on. So what are some of the major communication challenges facing leaders as communicators, regardless of how competent? There's a lot of competent people who just have difficulty for various reasons. What are some of those challenges in today's world?
Well, there are several. Being able to communicate with greater impact, being able to communicate without over-talking. Over-talking is quite an issue for a number of leaders we advise, and over-talking versus listening.
Do you find that over-talking tends to be more prevalent in new leaders or new managers because they're making up for their lack of skill in leadership by trying to overdo something?
Well, I think you're right. The more seasoned leader tends to be, in many instances, less talkative, but there are certainly exceptions. But there are all kinds of reasons why leaders tend to over-talk. Some of it can be just core insecurity. Some of it can be lack of confidence in the people with whom he's interacting. Some of it can be just anxiety in general related to what's going on in the organization or outside the organization. Some of it can be related to ego, just feeling that his or her views are just so much more important than those of the people who surround him or her.
I'm glad you said
all
that
kinds
one.
Of explanations.
I'm glad you said ego. I was just about to ask you that one. I will frequently get questions from clients or prospects who have read my book, and they'll say, I really need your help. I want to ask you a few questions and get your advice. And then they proceed to talk for the next 30 minutes, and then by the time they're done, I haven't said a word.
That's one of the major issues that leaders have, and that is one of the front and center issues we address in behalf of organizations. The leader who overtalks, the leader who doesn't listen well, the leader who doesn't have a well-shaped vision or a message to carry that vision, those are some of the major concerns that are brought to our attention by the organizations who rely on us.
Mm-hmm.
Plus, leaders who just need to project more confidence and more leadership presence. And wide variety of settings, whether we're talking about town hall meetings, formal presentations, media interviews, or just meetings around the table.
Well, let's talk about that. You prepare leaders for media interviews, don't you, in crisis?
We do. We do. We have had a wonderful crisis and media communication practice. That's right. And we help a number of leaders from major organizations mainly deal with very, very challenging situations, very challenging questions that these crisis situations spawn.
Yeah, so something like Toyota, when they had the recall, I'm not saying that's a client of yours, but when they have a crisis like that, they have to really know how to come out back at the public with their comments. Is that the kind of thing you're talking about?
That's right. It's any organization. Toyota does not happen to be a client, but any time an organization's reputation is at risk, they need to have a good, tight, compelling message, and the sooner they can get it out, normally, the better.
And as we've so often seen, a lot of companies, when they're faced with the crisis, they hunker down instead of coming out.
That's right.
Right.
And we like to say our bumper sticker is hunker in the bunker. Exactly. And we say you've got to come out, and especially with the new media, which is so spontaneous, they just can't hide. If they hide, at every moment they're hiding, every second they're hiding, they're losing credibility.
So what are the two or three major development needs that surface when you're working with those kinds of clients?
You mean in a crisis and media interview setting?
Yeah.
Well, in addition to having a clear, tight message, they need to make sure they don't get bogged down in detailed explanations. They need to make sure that they don't get trapped by trick questions, which we call banana peels questions they can slip on. And they need to find ways to get their message into the response to the reporter's questions. And those are really the major needs for those particular situations from a communication standpoint.
Right. So
they also help companies actually become leaders of companies become better decision makers through the simulations that we design and stage, so that not only do we help them get ready for the media, we actually go into the situation room and analyze how they're communicating with one another with regard to the decisions they're making in response to the crisis.
And that sounds to me like good coaching, crisis or no crisis, that people should engage in that kind of in a dialogue with each
very
other.
Very fair. Janie, very fair.
And you know, I know that you use the 360 degree instrument. I mean, over the years, I've used those for my CEOs, and it takes a pretty confident guy to allow you to do a 360. You want to talk a little bit about that and how you've used it?
Well, I'm happy to, Janie. Our 360 is called the Leadership Communication Profile, and to my knowledge, it's the only 360 that brings leadership and communication together. And we focus on how the leader projects from a leadership presence standpoint, how he or she communicates in general, and how approachable he or she is, their listening capabilities, a broad array of competencies that are very, very carefully assessed through our instrument. And to my knowledge, not only is this the first that brings together communication and leadership, but to my knowledge, this is one of the very first 360s in general. I actually created this instrument in 1985.
Wow, that's very impressive. Now, I want to not assume that all of our listeners know what a 360 is. A 360 is an instrument that assesses how all the people who work around you, above you, next to you, and beneath you, and maybe even in your 360, it might be outside that circle as well. It could be vendors or customers, how they perceive you so that you can get a good look in the mirror. Is that a good way of describing that?
That's a terrific synopsis. In most instances, the 360s that we conduct involve people within the organization, but to your point, occasionally they do reach beyond the organization for feedback. Mm-hmm. And our instrument actually teases out 153, I think that's the latest number, 153 qualities in addition to calling for narrative responses. And the major question in the 360 is, what can this person do to become a more effective leader? And we get wonderful, rich input through that question. And then we I meet with a leader, and then we basically prepare together an action plan to help that leader become a more effective leader through communication.
All right. Well, I think that's just terrific. And at some point, Miles, I'd like to learn more about that. We're getting close to the end of the program here, and I've got a couple of questions for you. One is, for our listeners, if you had to give three key tips for people who are running a business, it might be smaller than the companies that you're working with. It might be the same size. But our listeners running anything from a small business to a large business, what three communication tips would you say are crucial for them to be thinking about?
Irrespective of the size of the organization, whether it's a Fortune 500 company or whether it's a small store in a mall, it's extremely important for people who work for you to feel that you have a vision, a positive outlook with regard to the future of your enterprise, and that you communicate it well. It's extremely important that people know what you stand for in terms of your principles, for example, integrity, for example, commitment to the people who work for you, and I could give you a host of examples. And then, as I've said throughout your show, it's very important to communicate openly and frequently, and to actually have a good game plan for whom you want to reach, how, and when.
I think that's very good advice. I know when I work with the small, medium-sized businesses, I tell my CEOs that you have to be the cheerleader. If you're not, who's going to be? Regardless of if the numbers are down, you have to be up. And so I'm in total agreement with you, Miles. I think it's probably really challenging as you work with some of the people you work with. We're closing in on time, so I want to make sure the listeners know how they can reach you. I know you've got 6 books published. I think, do you have another one in the incubator? I want you to answer that, and then tell us how we can reach you.
Sure. Well, Jeannie, first of all, I want to basically reinforce the point you just made, and we make the point, to your point, that you can't be a leader unless you're moderately optimistic. If you're a pessimist, you can't lead. So optimism, credible optimism, is absolutely essential. Now, with regard to the book, I'm seriously thinking about writing another book. I haven't really made a decision,
right.
But
we'll
I have a number of ideas
later.
That I'd like to
give us your website.
Perhaps share.
Give us your website, Miles.
Yes, and my website is Martel, M-A-R-T-E-L, and spelled out, A-N-D, associates, the whole word, .com.
All right. Well, Miles, I can't thank you enough for being on the show, and I think we would love to invite you back sometime because I'm sure you've got all kinds of good tips and stories for our listeners. So thanks for being with us.
Well, it's been my pleasure, Jeannie, and I'm really happy to have been part of this.
Okay, and South Florida listeners, again, thank you for being with Mind Your Biz today. Visit the website, mindyourbiztoday.com. Visit our website, smartadvantage.com. I am your host, Jeannie Smith. I'm president of Smart Advantage and author of Creating Competitive Advantage. We really enjoy having you with us as our listeners. We love your comments. Please go to our website. If you have a special need or a topic you want us to discuss, we are more than happy to bring in some experts on whatever topic our listeners demand. Thank you to our sponsor.
The Hudson Institute of Executive Education at Nova Southeastern University provides training in more than 30 areas of business, from communications fundamentals to advanced leadership. All courses are taught by instructors who have years of successful corporate experience. Investing in Hudson's executive education programs will provide your team with skills and tools that result in measurable returns. To customize your organization's training, visit nova.edu/execed.
You've been listening to Mind Your Biz Today with Jeannie Smith, CEO of Smart Advantage, best-selling author and business consultant extraordinaire. Tune in next Friday at 4:30 p.m. for another...